something I've been just doing a little study on, and it's kind of relates to me and what I'm going through. You know, everyone of us has very difficult circumstances, and sometimes we wonder why we're going through these situations. And, you know, I myself have been going through some, you know, tough circumstances that cause you to really fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord, asking, why have you allowed this? And one day when I was praying that, I read a scripture. It says, the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastises every son whom he approves. And then later on it says, so that you might be partakers of his holiness. And it kind of became clear to me, you know, why the Lord was allowing such a difficult circumstance to come. And I realized it was discipline for me. And I just prayed and I said, Lord, I receive that. I receive it. And I want to learn what you have to teach me. And, you know, there's areas in my life the Lord wants to change and wants to purify and purge. And I want to learn what he wants to teach me, what he has for me. I want to be teachable. I want to receive correction and receive rebuke. And, you know, it's hard to do. You know, I've received rebuke from brothers before. That's hard. It's not easy. Initial response is a little bit of resistance. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a heart that was willing to receive it and allow it to change our lives. And so I was just looking at just some different examples in the Word of different people that were able to receive correction. Some did not receive it, and some received it graciously. And first is in Matthew 26. In verse 6, it says, and when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You know, when I read that initially, I didn't see that there's a correction there that Jesus gives his disciples. There's an exhortation, and it's, we could, you know, if we compare it to some others, it's quite a gentle one. And when you look at John 12, we can see specifically one of the disciples whom he was speaking to. It says in this, that in verse 4, John 12, verse 4, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. And back in Matthew 26, you know, when you, in my Bible, I have another division there, a separate paragraph. And in verse 14, it says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? and they counted to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And you don't always put these together, that Judas Iscariot kind of said, why couldn't we just use this money and give to the poor? And Jesus gave him an exhortation, gave him a correction. And, you know, Judas loved money. And Jesus was trying to gently tell him and correct him. But yet, in the next verse, he didn't receive it. It caused him to become hostile. And that was right after that. It says, then he went to go and betray Jesus. That's when he went to go to the chief priest and says, hey, what are you willing to give me? Judas wouldn't receive the correction. And it's very dangerous when we don't receive correction. Whether the correction is from directly from the Lord himself through circumstance or through another brother, from the Lord through another brother or sister bringing a correction. Are we willing to receive it? You know, there's a verse, I'll just read it in Proverbs 25. Verse 11 and 12. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Someone who receives it, that correction is precious. It's like an ornament of, like it says, apples of gold and settings of silver. To someone who will receive it. And it says a wise rebuker. Jesus is a wise rebuker. There's no one wiser than Jesus. And so when Jesus is bringing correction, Jesus should have taken heed. And we also can take heed one to another when we are bringing a wise rebuke. You know, we're not here just trying to rebuke everybody. But if we will have the words of Christ and have that heart to be able to, if we see a brother sinning, to go and to bring correction in a right way, it says we'll save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. It also says that the person who doesn't receive rebuke will die. And that's what happened to Judas in the end. He didn't receive any correction. And the end, we know what happened to him. You know, he had remorse, but he didn't have repentance. And he threw that silver there, and he went and hung himself. And that was the end, because he didn't have a heart to receive correction and counsel. And so I see that, and I say, Lord, I want to be able to receive correction. You know, it's hard, but I want to be thankful for it. I want to be thankful for it. And, you know, I've seen a change. I've seen a change in my life. From that, through the time of the difficult situation, it's caused me to cry out to the Lord. I've seen areas of victory in my life where I was struggling before. And I can say, thank you, Lord. Even though this is so difficult, this is so hard, the situation, I thank you because you're producing a change in my life. And so it's worth it all. If I can know you more, if I can have victory, it's greater to have a difficult time on earth and to be turned away from evil than to have an easy life and in the end to have a heart that goes wayward, goes after the world or after things and ends in destruction. It's much better to be able to end and seeing Jesus and Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful. You know, other people who didn't receive correction were the Pharisees. And we can read that in Luke 11. Jesus spoke quite strong words to them. You know, he says, from verse 37, I won't read it all, but he says, in verse 39, the Lord said, now you Pharisees make outside of the cup and dish clean, but inwardly, your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. That's just speaking straight to the point. You're clean on the outside. Inwardly, you're like dead man's bones. And then he says, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint, rue, and all manner of herbs, but you pass by the justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, for you're like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of it. Then one of the lawyers answered and said, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Then he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. And he goes on, and then at the end here, it says in verse 53, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something that he might say, that they might accuse him. So that they began to become hostile and question him and oppose him. Jesus was kind of, when he was correcting them, when he was being firm with them, was it because he just wanted to humble them publicly so that and then they would end up in hell? No, he was hoping that they would receive the correction. They needed strong correction because they were strong themselves. And so there's times when we need very strong correction. And his hope was that they would repent, that they would receive it. But the correction caused them to oppose him even more and become hostile and question him and try and catch him and see whether they could get, eventually they killed them as well. And so the correction didn't produce in them a life because they didn't receive it. Now I'm going to read an example of someone who received, I would want to say, some of the most biggest correction, the most difficult thing that someone could say to you, and yet he received it. In Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 22 and 23. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. That is the most strongest words that someone could probably say. Get behind me, Satan. He was rebuking Peter, and because Peter was speaking the words of the devil. He was speaking in the flesh. You know, Jesus, in my Bible, some Bibles don't have this. In my Bible, the only other time Jesus said this was directly to Satan himself, when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness. He says, get behind me, Satan, he said. So this was another temptation. You don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to suffer. Get behind me, Satan. How did Peter receive that? We don't outright know right here. But if you look in John 6, in verse 60, Jesus was speaking some difficult words here to people that they couldn't understand. And they said in verse 60, that his disciples, many of them, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? I'll just stop there for a minute. There's Peter. He's speaking some hard words to these disciples. And they're gone. You know, they're gone. They're leaving. But Peter's had some of the hardest words spoken to him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me." And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Were those words of eternal life that he spoke to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." Were those the words of eternal life? Oh, when Peter received that, those were eternal life. Those were words of eternal life. He knew that he needed Jesus. And later on, yes, he warned Peter again, and Peter had a fall. But Peter repented, and he was changed. And when he received the Spirit, he became like a new man because he was willing to receive correction. Peter was he was one of those guys that needed more correction, but he received it. And someone who's willing to receive correction, even though there's a lot of rough edges, the Lord is able to do a wonderful work through that person. He says, "You have the words of eternal life. Where should we go? And we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you remember what revelation Peter had before before he said that and before he got rebuked? Just before that, he said, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And it was Peter who answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he got rebuked right after that. Here he says, again, here he already had that revelation. So he said this after he'd gotten rebuked. "You have the words of eternal life." That's the heart we need to be able to receive correction, even when it's tough, even when it's difficult. And I'll just share this other example of someone. David was able to receive correction. He had sinned, committed some wicked things, murder, adultery. And Nathan came and gave him a parable because he wasn't able to see it. And he said that there was a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man had many things, men and sheep, and the poor man had one little lamb. And there was a traveler that came and knocked on the rich man's house, and the rich man didn't want to take one from his own flock. And so this little sheep, whom this poor man was like his best friend, and he would lay in his bosom and he'd eat from his table and from his hand. And the rich man grabbed that sheep and killed him and prepared him for the traveler. And David, being a shepherd and had a love for sheep, said, "That man must surely die." And Nathan said, "You are that man." And David was cut to the heart. And then Nathan explained that, "You know what, because you've done this, there's going to be turmoil in your home. There's going to be division. There's going to be strife within your home. And also, your son is going to die." And David said, "I have sinned." He repented, and he says, "Yes, your sins are forgiven, but there's going to be consequences, and your son will die." And then David was mourning and praying, and then he got word that his son died. And instead of becoming bitter and not receiving the Lord's correction, the Lord's discipline, it says he went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. That's the response of David. And so even though that he did some wicked and vile things, and the things that we've all done, maybe not to the extent that David did, of outwardly committing adultery and outwardly murdering, but things that have been inward, anger and lust, gossip and slander, and all those things. And the Lord brings correction, brings a strong exhortation of discipline. Are we able to go into his presence and say, "Lord, I worship you. I receive it. Change me. Thank you for bringing this to show me that I'm not right with you. And I want to know you more. I want to be pure. I want to be blameless before you. And I receive your correction. I don't want to oppose it. I don't want to become offended when you allow things or when a brother rebukes me. I receive it." Saul was the opposite. You know, when he was little in his own eyes, he was the king of Israel. And then he didn't obey 100%, 90% maybe he obeyed. And Samuel said, you know, the kingdom is going to be torn from you because you didn't obey the Lord, you didn't honor him. And Saul, instead of receiving it, he resisted it and he fought. When David was anointed king, he didn't receive the kingdom right away. But Saul was just running after David and envious and jealous, even though Samuel said, the kingdom is going to be torn from you and given to someone better than you. He didn't just say, okay, I receive it. I'm stepping down. You know, and here, take it. I'm not fit. He just fought and says, I'm going to keep the kingdom. And he tried to kill David and just resisted and resisted and resisted. And we know the end of his life. Someone who doesn't receive it will die. And that's what happened to him as well. You know, whether he fell on a sword and then asked someone to do him in. And so we see the difference of someone who receives and someone who doesn't receive. And the seriousness of it. And there's a lot of different verses. I'll read just a few of them in the Proverbs. Just kind of flip through a few about... I can say, in summarizing some of these, someone who doesn't receive correction, it says, these are strong words, in Proverbs 12, verse 1, here it says, 12, verse 1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. So someone who hates correction is stupid. You know, I don't even like that word. I don't let my children say that word. I don't want to say that word. But the Lord uses that word for people because it's so serious. Just like Jesus had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It is foolish and stupid to not receive correction. In another proverb, Proverbs 10, Proverbs 10, verse 8, it says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. And in verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. So we see that someone who doesn't receive correction will go astray, and they will lead others astray. Proverbs 15, it says that, verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. So we see someone who doesn't receive it is a fool. In another proverb, it says, poverty and disgrace will come upon him, a person who doesn't receive correction. So some strong examples. But the ones who embrace rebuke, and I'm just going to summarize this, in Proverbs 13:8 it says there is honored. Proverbs 15:5 it says they're prudent. Proverbs 15:32 says that person will gain intelligence. Proverbs 12:1 says they love knowledge. Proverbs 15:31 says they'll dwell among the wise. And Proverbs, 16 it is, verse 17... it says they're on the path of life. So there's two examples, people who don't receive and people who do. One's the path of life, one's the path of destruction. And so it's just an encouragement for us to be able to receive correction, even though it's difficult, even though it's hard. You know, the people of Israel and Jeremiah, and he was giving strong exhortation, and it says that they would not receive. There are people who would not receive correction. And they continued in their rebellious ways. And it says in a number of verses, and I won't read them now, but Jeremiah 2:30, Jeremiah 5:3, and 7:28 says, there are people who would not heed his word and not receive correction. And at the end of Jeremiah was the fall of Jerusalem. And the temple and the city plundered and burned, and people were taken captive to Babylon. And so we don't want to be like a Judas, like the people of Israel who did not receive, like the scribes and the Pharisees who would not receive and just cause us to be more hostile, more bitter. But we want to be like a Peter. Though he was rough and needed a lot of correction, he received it. Like a David, made a lot of mistakes, but he received it and he had a heart after God. It says in Proverbs 1:23, it says, "Turn at my rebuke and I'll pour out my spirit on you." Someone who receives correction is going to receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? That's encouraging. When we turn at his rebuke, he is going to give us of his spirit. Proverbs 6:23 says, "Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So that's just encouragement for us. I know I've been receiving correction from the Lord, and I'm thankful for it, although it's tough. So let us all just receive that. The Lord disciplines those he loves, so we can expect it to come. Let's receive it with thanksgiving, knowing it when we receive it, it will produce in us holiness. That's what it will produce. Amen.